Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop. It's Tuesday, August 16th. I'm Alan Chartok. There's no tap dancing about it. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is calling for Cold War-style mobilization to fight what he calls radical Islamic terror. That includes a mandatory screening of all Muslim visitors and migrants. Meanwhile, Democratic rival Hillary Clinton pushed her economic plans with Vice President Joe Biden in Scranton yesterday. We're checking with you today what you think of this race. It's Trump and Clinton Tuesday. We know you have lots of thoughts, and you'll give us a call. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Mr. Zach Malloy, Susie Chekai will take your calls. Well, well, well. Hi, I'm Alan, and I'm back here with WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. Well, you know what I just heard, and that is that Roger Ailes, actually we've been hearing it from this morning, is going to advise Donald Trump on how to handle his women problem in his debate with Hillary. Now, that's a good one, isn't it? Donald Trump is proposing what he calls extreme vetting also before allowing immigrants into the U.S. on a speech on foreign policy he just gave on Monday. The Republican presidential nominee said applicants would be subject to questions about their personal ideology and immigration and would be suspended from dangerous parts of the world. Meanwhile, a Siena College poll says Democrat Hillary Clinton has a 30-point lead over Republican Donald Trump in their home state of New York, which means, obviously, that those people running in down-ticket races. I talked to some extent to politicians this morning about this, and then they're looking forward to a Democratic Senate in New York and maybe to a Democratic House of Representatives in Washington as well as a Democratic Senate. This is a history-making election. We want to know what you think. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Don't leave me sitting here. You can also post comments at our Facebook page, facebook.com/WMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@WMC.org. And if you are a Trump supporter, I'd really love to hear from you today. 1-800-348-2551. Well, now, you know, I've been looking at the New York Times upshot. It's great, great stuff. And they always have the same thing every day, the upshot of who will be president by Josh Katz. And it says here, the upshot's election model suggests that Hillary Clinton is favored to win the presidency based on the latest state and national polls. A victory by Mr. Trump remains quite possible. I love that sentence, and it's been in there every single day. It's now they've got 87% for Hillary, 13% for Trump. These are not polling numbers. These are their percentages that they figure they have where their chances are. A victory by Mr. Trump remains quite possible, says the New York Times. I agree. Mrs. Clinton's chance of losing is about the same as the probability that an NFL kicker misses a field goal from the 20-yard line. Again, the New York Times, Josh Katz. Okay, so your show, there are four people on the line already. We'll go to David in New Paltz. David, thanks for your patience. Appreciate it. Go ahead.
Hello, Doctor. I have to tell you, you know, I read Trump's books that he wrote even 20 years ago as if he was going to run for president, what he would do. And he doesn't have any faith in polls or campaign managers. He's selling himself like soap. He's hired an ad agency, and he's got his four words, Make America Great. That's it. Everything he explains.
Wait. How's that four words? That's three words.
Again.
That's three
Make
words.
America,
that's three
great,
words, right?
America Great again.
Oh, again, words. Again. Okay, right. All right, gotcha. So, David, but wait a second. I just want to argue with you, if you'll accept it, for just a second.
Oh, yeah.
And that is, who doesn't sell soap in these campaigns? They all sell soap. They all have campaign managers. What makes him different from the other one? I don't want to be a Trump defender here, of course, but
he has a professional ad agency selling him.
They all do that. Are you kidding?
Well,
you think Hillary's not doing that with her money?
He is acting, and everybody else is reacting. And then he is setting the stage, and he's setting the agenda. Everybody is reacting to what's the latest thing he's going to do now. I think what's going to happen if he get what's going to make him president is the people are so bored with Hillary. I mean, she's so boring. At least, you know, things would be interesting with Trump.
Yeah, but for a boring person, she seems to be doing rather well in the polls. I mean, 30 points in New York, that's unbelievable. Remember, this is a state that Ronald Reagan carried, believe it or not.
I don't trust the polls, you know.
Okay, you know what? I'm with you. I don't trust them either.
Yeah.
I don't. Especially, David, in this election. And I'll tell you why. Because in this election, Trump is reaching to a demographic which we really don't know what numbers will come out with. I mean, the anti-immigrant vote. Look, who in this country doesn't worry that what has happened abroad will happen here, right?
Well, of course. You know, he's playing on what people fear the most, you know, and he's also setting the agenda for other people to respond to his outrageous comments. And when they respond, then he can attack them for their response.
David, thanks for calling, for starting us off. We got a lot of people behind you, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Doctor.
Bye-bye. Okay. And now we're going to go to Cliff, who's been waiting to talk to us for 9 minutes and 38 seconds. All right. Cliff is going to be on. All right, Cliff, you're on. Cliff, you're on.
Hey, what's up, Doc?
That's funny. Go ahead.
How are
you
doing?
What do you got?
Well, I was doing some shopping yesterday, and I talked to this one guy. I just mentioned in passing, and he says he's going to vote. He'd rather vote for Trump because he doesn't like Hillary. And I told him I'm a Democrat, but I'm looking for an independent to vote for. And he says he has a little more trust in Trump. But I think Hillary should be a Hillary, and Trump should be in a stock.
Yeah. Well, you know? but Cliff, is it your
impression?
Is it your impression, however, that guys like that you met in the supermarket are the silent majority who will elect Trump?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people they're registered Democrats. They're going to vote for Trump because they don't like Hillary.
Well, how come that's not showing up?
One half a dozen of the other.
Okay, so how's that not showing? How's that showing up in the polls? And why aren't we seeing that?
The thing is, I am going to show up at the when it comes to time to vote. I'm going to vote, but having to be being restricted to whom I can vote for.
Yep, like we all are.
That doesn't feel right.
Well, it may not feel right, but it's the only system we got in this country.
I know it's the only system we got.
And in other words, choices have to be made.
There's room for improvement.
Yeah, well, I agree, but don't choices have to be made? I mean, do you want?
Yeah, that's true.
My favorite cartoon was in the Daily News 2 days ago. There was a huge cartoon in the news who, of course, hates Trump. And they showed, looking out the window, they showed two Atlas missiles or whatever having taken off. And Trump has his finger on the button and says, "What do you mean I can't bring him back?" Okay, listen. Yeah. Listen, Cliff, thanks very much. Appreciate your call.
I'll see you around.
Right, bye.
Bye.
Okay, and now we'll go to Ron in Shaftesbury. All right. Ron, it's your turn.
Hello, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The question that I have is, and maybe I've just been reading the wrong stuff or not reading enough stuff, but it seems like the Democrats are missing an opportunity to stick Trump on every Republican and say, it's not just Trump. This is the Republican Party. And Trump is the nominee that the Republic. That's where they've been going, and we've been doing these single issues and letting the Koch brothers take all the money we got. But they don't seem to be doing it.
You know,
they're trying to let it be an unsaid thing, but it seems like it's a great opportunity to say this isn't an aberration. This is Trump, and he's pounding away at what the Republicans want, plus a few other things that aren't too crazy.
Yeah, you know, Ron, I'm going to tell you something. I think you have raised a profound, substantive point. In other words, you're the Hillary people, you know, sitting around a table, and you're discussing what to do about that very thing. If, in fact, the Bushes and the McCains and, you know, Mitt Romney and all the others are have declared themselves non-Trumpistas, right? So now, now, and you are finding huge numbers of Republicans coming over to the Hillary voting side. We've seen that.
Yeah.
So about, you know, a huge number of them. So do you really want, and they all, by the way, all these people are going to show up in the polls, and they're going to vote. Now, the Democrats will come out, and huge numbers of Democrats come out in presidential elections, and then they go down ticket. They say, oh, I don't know, what's all this? What's the United States Senate? What's all this stuff? So then they vote for the Democrat, right? So do you really want to add insult to the Republicans, the Bush-like Republicans and the other guys, by taking them on as a party where you're already winning huge numbers of their votes? Don't you see?
Yeah, I do see that, but I think they're still getting a free ride. I mean, here's these good Republicans, and then there's Trump. Well, these good Republicans have been voting, haven't allowed Obama to pass anything in 8 years. So why are we worried about what they're going to do?
Well,
you know, they're not going to vote for Trump anyway.
Well,
you know,
well, a lot of them are.
The other side, I don't know if that's the case or not. But
you're not talking, you know, Ron, you're not talking about Trump versus Hillary now. Now you're talking about down ticket, the congressional
right.
races. So
absolutely.
I had Paul Tonko in here this very morning, and he sat with me. We did a congressional corner. And, you know, he thinks that this is going to be huge for the Democrats simply because they are in great shape when it comes to people going down ticket. And I don't think they want to ruin it. I don't think they want to ruin it. Hey, Ron, that was a good call, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
But what happens if Trump quits?
Oh, you know, I can't deal with it. I
yeah.
think it's too.
Okay.
I think
all
it's.
Right.
I frankly think it's too far out. I hear it over and over again. People write me letters. I just keep saying it ain't gonna happen. But with him, you know, you never know. I mean, there is a psychological designation which I hesitate to utter on the air right now. But it is. But
thanks a lot for your comments.
No. But what it means is that this particular type, let's say narcissist, has tremendous ego needs and believes in themselves. Until they're losing, and then anything is possible. So so it's an interesting point. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate your call.
All right.
Going to take a brief break, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. TJ's Taylor Rental and Party Plus, owners Jim and Tamara Falcone, providing tool and equipment rentals, tents, bounce houses, water slides, and party supplies for events. TJ'sTaylorRental.com. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly, passive, and solar design elements, noble-home.net. Old Castle Theater, Main Street, Bennington, Vermont, presenting The City of Conversation, a new play following an active political family through six administrations, beginning with Ronald Reagan, through August 21st, oldcastletheater.org. And Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York, featuring a variety of mums, shrubs, and trees for fall planting and bulbs for spring, open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, and Sundays, 9 to 4. A gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com.
And we are back. And by the way, there are only three people waiting to speak on the phone. They take a couple of minutes each, and you could be on. However, if you wait till the end, tough. That ain't going to happen. So let's go. So do it now. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to David now. All right, David, you're sitting there in Woodstock. Go ahead. David.
Hi, is this you got me on now?
Is that David? Who are you? What's your name? Uh-oh. That's weird.
Hello?
What's your name?
You hear me now?
Yes, what's your name? Uh-oh. Well, there's a little problem here. Thank you for calling, David. And that leaves us with Barbara in Malta. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. Barbara in Malta. You're on, Barbara.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Well, I'm good, except for David fading out like that. I don't know what happened to him.
I know. That was weird.
He was like General MacArthur. Old soldiers never die. They just fade away.
Yeah, really. I wish Trump would just fade away. And, you know, I'm calling about him. This whole thing has just got me crazy. And, you know, I've been thinking, he's got his followers so hyped up and so angry. And I'm worried about, you know, what's going to happen to them if, perchance, he should lose. And he's out there railing and railing about, oh, my God, I was cheated and everything else. What are these people going to do? Because I think there are some really loose cannons in that bunch. And I'm not sure. What are they all hyped up for? What's going to happen with that? And I'm worried about this guy Pence, that Trump is just going to be some kind of figurehead if he does get in there. And Pence, who is ultra, ultra right-wing, is going to be running the show along with some other people that are behind the scenes there.
Well, Barbara, let me just have a crack at this. First of all, don't you think that, you know, we've heard this kind of thing before? And I have to say this to you. I voted for Bernie Sanders, but I've heard some fairly rabid stuff from Bernieites about going out, you know, and the Bernie Revolution and the this and the that. That ain't going to happen. It's never happened in this country. I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening here at all. But people are saying it. People are saying it. I think, you know, they're just wrong. I don't think you're going to find anybody taking a gun and starting to shoot as a revolutionary thing. When's the last time you saw pots and pans? Hey, Al Gore was robbed of that election, right?
Yeah. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Did you see anybody saying anything about it? Nah. Everybody went into their houses.
No. Nobody. Everybody just sat back.
Yeah. So if you can rob an election, if you can seek, or Nixon, there are those people who, believe it or not, thinks Nixon was robbed when JFK got elected. Because remember the Illinois vote and coming in late, they said that Mayor Daley was waiting to find out how many dead people had a vote. So, you know, this is part of the American experience, but you don't really see this kind of armed insurrection as a result of that. I don't see it. I have no, I don't have any doubt. Have you seen any evidence of it?
Well, I don't know. I'm just worried that, you know, when it's all over. You know, he said so many wild things about Muslims and blacks and this and that, that, you know, you really might see some people going out and saying, well, you know, let's...
You might see it, but there's no real evidence of it. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it, frankly, at the rallies, you know, some people... He's even threatened people and said, you know, about the, you know, beating them up and the rest. I just don't see it. And I know you're worried about it, but, you know, if I'm you, I would wait a little while before I worry about it. Barbara,
okay.
Thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Alan. You have a good afternoon.
You too. Okay. And we'll go to Chris in Water of Elite. All right, Chris, it is your turn. Okay, Chris, you're on.
Hiya.
Hey, Chris.
Alan?
Yep.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And how are you on this rainy day?
I'm all right. Staying dry, so I won't complain.
Okay, what do you got? Bring it.
I just wanted to mention and bring up the fact that it appears to me that there are numerous Trump supporters who either don't understand the consequences of his policy, quote, ideas, and I put that in quote because I don't really see them as much of a policy, but... For instance, I had someone complaining about the price of goods going up, but they were voting for Trump, who, if he were to have his way and start a trade war, would exacerbate the primary problem that they were complaining about. So there's just this disconnect between their support and the reality of the consequences of some of these ideas. For instance, another one, you know, defaulting on our national debt. Well, that's going to cause our interest rate to increase and our interest-only payments to go up. So it's going to add to the deficit. So, I mean, there's just, and I would love to see the Democrats get more on point with dissecting what he says for his policies and pointing out what the realities are. it's one thing to put forward your idea, but I feel like they really need to spend time and focus and energy on critiquing and really picking apart and getting into detail about the consequences, because I think that's part of the missing part of the equation.
It's a fair thing for you to say. I just don't think it's the way it works. In fact, I think, you know, these things get to be popularity contests. People say, I like Trump because I like the way he talks. I like him because he says what he thinks. I like him because he, you know, he does that. That's the kind of reason. Now, we know what the split is between the educated and the undereducated. And Trump himself said, quote, I love the undereducated. You remember that, right? So,
yes, I do.
So then you're talking to your own. The question is, how do you talk to the other people? How do you talk to the people who say, I like a guy who says what he thinks, no matter what he thinks? Or the women who say, I like what he thinks, when, you know, we know what that's about. Can you imagine, though, the idea of Chris, of hiring on Roger Ailes, who is now in disgrace, all these women coming forward saying that that they've been propositioned by the guy in order to keep their job. Some even saying they did the dirty with him in order to keep their job. So so now you hire that guy. Of course, the Trump people, deluged as usual by the reaction to that, have now saying, no, he's not going to coach the debates, which has been widely reported. Somebody must have thought it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe they don't have to get into, you know, specific detail, but just talk about the consequences of them, because I feel like he is such a, I mean, I always liken it to him ramming a bulldozer through the foundation of this nation. I mean, he wants to open libel laws, and I know he can't, you know, single-handedly do this, but he wants to open libel laws to go after journalists that are critical, and he does not like the right to assemble. If you're not, you know, falling at his feet, then he thinks you should be roughed up. I mean,
no, those are all good things. They are. Because that's not exactly what you're talking about. When you're talking about economic policy and trade policy and the rest of it, I agree with you. These are very important issues. Nevertheless, I don't think it's what wins elections. What you're talking about now wins elections. Listen, I got to let you go. There are a lot of people behind you. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to, let's see here. Yeah. We'll go to Ray in Johnsburg. Okay, Ray. You're on, Ray.
Yes, Alan, how are you?
Well, I'm good. Don't make it worse.
Listen, I have two fears. One is that in the first debate, Hillary just eats the man's lunch and destroys him. And I think after that, one of my fears is that, you know, Democrats are like, oh, this is in the box, and then they're not going to come out in droves and hopefully get the House back. And my second fear is, you know what? God forbid any kind of attack or something, and this man gets elected. He scares the hell out of me. That man really scares me.
So why does he scare you?
Because I think he's insane. I really do.
Okay, but that's not a good answer. You have to show me.
I'll tell you what. I was a tile setter in Manhattan for 35 years. I worked on several of his buildings.
Really?
And for several couples. Oh, yeah. And I'm telling you what, he's put a lot of really good companies under. I've met the man several times. I personally think he's cuckoo. I'm sorry. I can't say I know him personally, but I've met him several times. I've seen some stuff that he's done and on job sites that were just off the wall. I'll tell you what, he scares the heck out of me. And the fact that he's even where he is scares me even more. I don't know what these people I hate to say that, but I don't know. The man just scares the heck out of me.
Okay, you made that point several times, and it's well worth thinking about. But, Ray, I appreciate it. Believe me, you've been provocative enough, so several people have picked up the phone. The lines are ringing off the hook. Thanks a lot, Ray. Appreciate it.
Good.
Right, bye. Okay, and now we're going to go to Kevin in Northfield, Massachusetts. All right, Kevin, your turn.
Hey, how are you today, Alan?
Oh, well, you know, it's good. So it's good. It's good so far.
Well, thank you for doing what you guys do over at WAMC. First of all, I've got two predictions to make. First of all, the debates that will be coming up soon, I predict they're going to be the most watched debates ever in history. But then come November, the people showing up for election, there's going to be record low number of people voting this upcoming fall, because the dislike of these two candidates that we have is just so high. And I got to say, you know, as an American, as a voter, as a concerned citizen, that's what has me concerned the most, that Americans don't trust these two candidates. The likability factor of both of them is so low. And I wish we could go back to a day where you could get a large segment of society behind a presidential candidate. We need a leader for the next 4 to 8 years, and I just wanted to know what you thought about that.
Well, Kevin, all good points. I mean, the major point is a very good point. I mean, people don't like Hillary. We see that in the polls, and they don't like Trump. But as I, who was once a young political scientist, now a very old one, like to think it, you know, there are choices to be made. There are literally choices to be made. Now, I think there are some people who understand that. I think you're right. There are a lot of people who don't understand it. If it looks like it's going to be a blowout, a point you and your predecessor may have made on the phone, if it looks like a blowout, people stay home. And when people stay home, guess what? It's usually more Democrats than Republicans. So,
well, we'll see what ends up happening in November. As you mentioned, you were referencing that conversation that you had earlier today, and
Matanko.
That someone thinks that you know, everybody below on the ticket's going to benefit. I think that's absolutely true here. And I live in New Hampshire, and Hillary is way out in front right now, a whole lot farther out in front than I think a lot of people thought she was going to be. But she is helping everyone below the ticket, especially. In New Hampshire, Kelly Ayotte, who had some pretty high numbers for a long time, she's going to struggle against Governor Hassan. Hassan doesn't have to do much campaigning at all.
Well, let me ask you a question. Here's a dangerous question for you, and you don't have to answer
it. Oh, great. I love dangerous questions.
But you don't have to answer it. Ready? Who's your congressman?
Yeah.
Who's your congressman?
Kelly Ayotte is our congressman right now.
Senator.
Our senator, yeah.
Well, who's your congressman? Who's in the House of Representatives?
You put me on the spot.
That's why I said it's a dangerous question. I know that.
I hung up right when you said that, then.
I know that. But you see, what happens is people show up in the voting booth, right? And the first thing that they're going to do is to take a look at if they don't know who they are, they'll take a look at whether they're Democrat or Republican. That's why turnout becomes so important. And that's why your point is so good about, you know, unhappiness. Now, if it's a close election, everybody comes out. We know that. But if it looks like a blowout, that's where you can have a very interesting reaction. A lot of people, like the Democrats, and will not show up. And in that case, anything can happen. It's all about turnout. And a very interesting story in the Times this morning that huge numbers of people now are allowed in their states to vote in advance. So even though Trump may turn things around, let's say there's an attack, let's say something like that happens, maybe a third of the voters are going to have voted by Election Day.
That's certainly a possibility. Well, you just wait until these debates happen on TV, because it's going to be just like reality television. People who aren't necessarily involved in the political process are going to tune in to watch, and the numbers are going to skyrocket for all these news stations and also the cable stations as well. But then come November, I think a lot of people are going to stay home. Thank you, Alan.
Kevin. Appreciate it. Okay, here we go. Let's go to Jeff in Latham, where everybody goes around in circles. Okay, Jeff, you're on.
Hello, Alan. How you doing today?
Good.
Question I have for you is, what I'm not hearing is any discussion about Trump and Trump Enterprises and what happens to all of his businesses when he gets into office, if he would hopefully not get into office. How is he going to separate his roles, and what company or what U.S. government agency is going to not have their conventions at a Trump resort?
No, I think you make some very good points. I don't know that he has said what he'll do. The usual way is that these guys put everything into a so-called, and I mean so-called, blind trust. And then they come back. Bloomberg was the mayor of New York. He put everything, he's one of the richest men in the world, he put everything into a blind trust. He came back and for a while, he just let it go. And then he took it over again, and he ran it. So it would be a very good question to put to the Trump people. And it's all complicated, right, by the fact that he hasn't showed us his taxes. So we don't really know. We don't really know whether he has or, in fact, if he has anything or what he has. Well, we know he has something. His name's on an awful lot of stuff, but we don't know how much. And therefore, your question is a very good one. I don't know how to answer it.
Yeah, I just want to see the Democrats start to drive that question home. I mean, he's bankrupt so many companies, and he's bankrupt all of his creditors, and not his creditors, but all the contractors that work for him. He doesn't pay them.
You don't mean all, I'm sure. You mean some.
Well,
yeah,
a large portion of the contractors don't want paid.
Okay, Jeff, thank you very much for the very good call and the very good idea about what happens if he becomes president. Appreciate it. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
Right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from John Lee & Company Estate Cleanout Services, Senior Living Consolidation, Auctions, Appraisals, Antique, and Jewelry Purchase, 518-527-0531. The 1850 House Inn and Tavern, featuring Deck 435, waterfront dining in the center of the Hudson Valley, where the mountains meet the Catskills, the1850house.com. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, Exams, Eye Care, Dry Eye Therapy, and now new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Tom McRae, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive, Amherst, Massachusetts, member SIPC. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. EdwardJones.com/TomMcRae. And ClipCentric Albany, a local video services division of ClipCentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV. Albany.ClipCentric.com.
Hey, Zach, that was great music. Thank you for choosing it. Really sets the tone for the hour. 1-800-348-2551. We're rounding the turn here. We got a lot of mail. We got somebody just let us know over the email. Just heard on NPR that Trump will receive first intelligence briefing tomorrow. What shocks me is he will be accompanied by two members of his campaign. One is the general who's been in the intelligence group for years, and the other will be Chris Christie. What makes him qualified to receive secret information? Just because he's Trump's buddy? Isn't this a case? Well, you know, he is the governor of a major state in the United States. Isn't this a case of dumb and dumber? Please comment on what this might mean for Christie if Trump does win. Well, we know that Christie would be in the cabinet. We know that. Also, wouldn't it be great if they baited Trump with a juicy tidbit to prove that he can't keep a secret? Okay. I wouldn't worry about Christie. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. And then we've heard from Abigail, who says, "Dear Alan, I think that Donald Trump is asleep. America's great. What's with the again?" Okay, Abigail, thank you for that. And now we're going to go to David, who's been waiting patiently in Woodstock. Okay, let's see if David is really on this phone. David, are you really on there this time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm really. You hit me in the one dead zone I came to in my drive, in my 10 minutes of driving waiting to be called on. Anyway, Alan.
My bad.
That's why I'm calling.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of chatter about the extreme vetting of people because maybe they'll follow Sharia law instead of the laws of the Constitution,
right.
The laws of the United States and the Constitution. But what I've never heard anyone say, including you on the roundtable, is, hey, shouldn't someone ask Donnie, what about people who follow extreme Christian law? Shouldn't we do extreme vetting of them to people so that people like the Kim Davises of the world wouldn't be allowed in because they say, I won't follow the laws of the United States and obey the Constitution because I'm following Christian law? So wouldn't it be great if someone took him to task on that point?
Well, David, I'm not going to even comment on this. I'm going to just say you've done a good deal by talking about it on the Vox Pop, which, David, is why we have this program, and you get your voice, and you just have said that, and it's something I've heard before, by the way, but it's an interesting concept. I think the answer would probably be, from most people who, you know, sort of want to justify it, is they'd say the Judeo-Christian ethic is what our laws are based on.
Well, if you look at the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, you will find the word Christianity, the word Christ, and words like and Bible mentioned zero times in those documents. They are not, we are
specifically
a nation where we separate church and state, and that's the whole, that is one of the bedrocks of our country.
And that, my friend, is why I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. And me too. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Okay, and so now we're going to go to Bradley in Richmond, Massachusetts. All right, Bradley in Richmond, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Bradley, there he is. Okay, Bradley, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call. Richard Neal is our senator or congressman.
Your congressman, right. Yes, he is. A good
guy.
Like. Yes, I love the guy.
And I listen to him on your show.
Yeah.
I like Hillary Clinton, actually, and I don't think that she's as nasty as a lot of people think. I think a lot of it is media-driven, but not positive. I mean, I know that there's some questionable things, but I think when you're in government, there's no one's like a saint in government. It seems like.
But don't you think there's a certain amount of it that's A, style, and B, history? So that there is some, you know, who takes the money before you're going to run for president of the United States? Who goes out there and makes
a bad move?
Yeah, well, there was that, right? And then, you know, you go along and you wonder whether or not now she's talking about how she's not going to appoint, well, she didn't say not, but it's too early to see whether she's going to reappoint Preet Bharara, the greatest hero America has seen when it comes to crime, you know, since Capone days. And she's saying that. And now we find out that he's looking, or we hear that he's looking at the Clinton Foundation and what they're doing, you know, that's enough for me to worry. Now, am I going to vote for her? Yeah, but do I like it? No.
Yes, I like Preet Bharara too. I thought, you know, I listened to him on your program. I thought he was, you know, I was pretty impressed with it. I was in New Marlboro at a restaurant. And an older gentleman was sitting next to my friend and I, and he, you know, he brought up politics.
Which restaurant?
Which is always a Cantina. It's a new restaurant.
Oh,
I don't know it. A wonderful little restaurant.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
And it's been open for 5 weeks, so it's pretty new, in a beautiful setting. But he hates Clinton, and he said that Obama was the worst president in the world. And I said, well, why? What? I like Obama a lot. I thought, you know, and he said, well, the economy's in a shambles. And I said, no, it's not. What are you talking about? He said, how's your work? And I said, it's fine.
It's the best. And, it's the best economy that we have had for a long, long time now. Are there people in the middle class who have suffered? Yes, there are.
I thought he was asleep or something for the last 7.5 years or so. I was like, wait a minute.
Don't convince me.
This guy pulled us out of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, don't convince me with the facts. Bradley, what else you got real quick? What else you got real quick?
And I just want to know if you listened to the Amish guy that was talking on maybe another NPR station talking about how a community in Ohio is going to like be polling or trying to get Donald Trump to win because men of color had cell phones, but they don't have jobs and they're getting free.
You know, I have had that crap over and over and over again. You know,
horrible.
I mean, I've walked into I deserted my wonderful barber because I needed a haircut really well. And I walked into a place and the kid was telling me that cell phones, televisions, you name it, you know, they make that stuff up. But sure. But listen, thank you, Bradley, for calling. I appreciate it very much. Okay, so now we'll go to, let's see here, Paul in Philmont. And there he is, Paul in Philmont. Go ahead, Paul.
Hello, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just thought I would try to improve your feeling of Hillary. And I really think that so many people are dragged in by the old Karl Rove philosophy of say a lie enough and vociferously enough, and it becomes the truth.
And by the way, I agree with you. I agree with that.
And you know, okay, Hillary, the emails, she admitted that it was a mistake.
Okay, it was a mistake.
She said it would not happen again. So she's capable of learning.
Well, we don't know that. We know what she says. We don't know if she's capable of learning. She took the money, right, from in the pre-campaign money and made herself a very wealthy woman when she knew she was going to run on the Democratic ticket for president of the United States. Was that smart?
Well, no. We do make mistakes. But she did apologize. The other side didn't do that.
Well, that's true.
And the other,
that's true. And by the way, you don't have to convince me. I told you I'm going to vote for her. Do I have reservations? I do. I have reservations. And I think it is incumbent upon all of us to make the distinctions ourselves, to say, who is this country better off with? But you don't have to like them.
That's true. That's true. We have reservations about anyone that we vote for because nobody agrees 100% with us.
Well, that's true.
The other comment I would like to make is, do you think that perhaps this debacle on the Republican side is because of all the eggs that were laid by Limbaugh, Savage, and Hannity,
yeah,
the chickens have finally come home to roost?
Well, it's very interesting. I've often thought about this issue, because what happens is these guys, in order to stay up with their listenership, have to feed them more and more red meat, right? So, in other words, they get crazier and crazier at some point.
And what is the demographic that usually listens to them?
Sure, sure. So,
it's the big supporters.
Well, no, it's not the big supporters. I don't think that's who they're looking for.
I'd say the big supporters of Donald Trump.
Yeah, they are, because as Donald Trump said, he was very honest about it. I love the undereducated. That's what he said. And that
correct.
Was the demographic he was looking for. It's the demographic he is looking for when he says, you know, stop all the Muslims from coming in the country. You know, he's going directly to the fears that every human being has to have. Nobody wants to get blown up. Nobody wants people in this country who are going to. But, of course, we've been doing a pretty good, but nobody counters with, we've been doing a pretty good job. This country really has been pretty good. I'm like, is it easy to get in this country? No, it's damned hard to get into the United States of America, number one. And everybody is vetted. Believe me, could we do better? Probably. But it's been amazingly successful. And do I think that there's going to be an incident before the election? I do. I think
unfortunately, you know, the same group of people are the same mindset as the people that Don was appealing to when he said you Second Amendment believers might be able to do something about this.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, Paul, I got to let you go. We're getting close to the end. I want to give everybody a chance. Okay.
Thanks
an awful
lot. Thank you very much, Alan.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
Okay, we're going to go to Barry. Barry, you're on. Hey, Barry.
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. What I wanted to say is that I think that everybody is taking Trump seriously, and he's actually a performance artist who is trying to convince himself that he can pull off getting elected president. He doesn't want to be president because he has no idea how to do it, and he knows that. And that's why he's got that vice president.
Well, how do you know? Barry. First of all, yeah. I don't buy this business, and you're the second person today who said it, that he thinks that his vice president is going to run the country. On the contrary, these guys are egomaniacs. They think they can do anything. They think it's easy. Number two, I question the fact that he doesn't want to be president. You know, this has become sort of common, parlance at cocktail parties. I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. I think he wants to be president.
I think he's looking at this as political theater, and he wants to be the king of political theater, theater.
Could be.
It's all theater to him.
Yeah, could be.
He would, if he became president, he would like that, of course, because he's an egomaniac. But as far as getting to the point where he's almost elected— he would be very happy with that. He could go out and build another career on the radio and on television as this performance artist.
He doesn't need another career. He's had that career already. He doesn't need another career. What is this business that everybody's saying, well, he doesn't really want to be president. He really wants to be president. He's tried to be president. He's put his all into it, and he doesn't need another career. I'm assuming some of what he says is true. He says he has $10 billion. Let's assume that he has $1 billion. That's still a lot of money. You could live on that for a long, long time, couldn't you? I could.
Yeah, of course. But I don't. I think he's trying to prove to himself that he can do more, and he always wants to do more.
Yeah.
And he likes scaring people because that means he's made a point.
Yeah.
He's gotten people, you know, under his control, and that's the other thing that he wants is control.
Yeah, that's true.
So, by doing that, he keeps scaring people, and he gets them under his control.
And was he losing all of that audience? In other words, in the beginning, he was beating Hillary by a couple of points. There was a point after the Republican convention. But he's not anymore.
The reason is that it worked at the beginning, but now that he's in the general election, he can't. He knows that all these things that he's saying are going to put him in the doghouse as far as winning. But he also knows that he's going to keep his base, which are his fans. He looks at them as fans. And as long as he does that, he's winning.
Well, okay, you've said that. You've said it. I appreciate that you feel that way. I don't agree with all of it. I agree with some of it. But thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Okay, and now we're going to go to Mary, who has been patiently waiting in Saugerties. Mary, bless you. You've been waiting a long time. Thanks for being here.
Well, yeah, hi, Alan.
Hi.
Just a quick comment. You know, we're talking about down-ballot races and Trump. And,
sure.
What scares me the most is if Trump were elected,
yep,
and we have a Republican House and a Republican Senate, the threat to our democracy would be so huge. I mean, what would happen to our freedom of the press with the power to appoint Supreme Court justices? What could happen to our Constitution? And I know folks are saying, oh, well, that's not going to happen. We're not going to get Trump and, you know, the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. That's never going to happen. But given what's happened so far, yeah, it could happen. So just want to make the point.
The New York Times agrees with you. That's what they say. That's exactly what they say. They said that it's perfectly possible that's going to happen. And so even though they're showing her with an 87% chance of winning and Trump with a 13% chance of winning, I want to read you the line from Josh Katz's very good analysis. Quote, "A victory by Mr. Trump remains quite possible." And let me tell you, if there's one thing the Democrats have to worry about in this election, it's that people will say it's a done deal. I don't have to go out. Isn't that right?
Yeah. And, you know, again, this is August. We've got, you know, the rest of August.
You bet.
We've got September. We've got October.
Yep.
So, you know, but I think the politicos are savvy enough to get that message out that folks can't stay home.
Well, they get the message out, but getting the message out, Mary, doesn't mean that people listen to them. And we have seen that time and again. So, Mary, thanks for the wonderful and very intelligent comment. Yeah, bye. Okay, and now we'll go to James in Highland, New York. Okay, James, you're on. James, your turn. Hello, James. Speak up, James. James going once. James going twice. James going three times. Are you there, James? I'm going to try this again. I'm going to press it again. James, are you there? No, you're not. Okay. Anyway, I'm so sorry, James, but you don't appear to be there. And that leaves us with no one on the line. So what I was thinking was, wait a second, let me see. James, are you there? No. I can't even hang it up. Okay. So what I was thinking of, we have a choice. It's 2:57. That's usually about when we end the program. I can do this. And Zach can play some of that wonderful theme music for us, too, at the very end. But I'll thank some people here. We're just about out of time. Thanks, everybody. We got everybody in. Support for Vox Pop comes from Larrick, serving the arts community year-round in downtown Glens Falls since 1972, with gallery exhibits and gift shop featuring handmade items by regional artists, LARAC.org, and the Whistling Kettle, featuring iced tea for summer hydration and a selection of over 150 premium teas, including specialty iced tea makers. Troy and Balson Spa, thewhistlingkettle.com. And Dr. Lucy Capick, or Chapik, as I've always said, but it's spelled here C-A-P-E-K, Latham, New York, plastic surgery dedicated to cosmetic surgery, laser treatments, and minimally invasive facial rejuvenation. Since 1996, a surgeon's hand, a woman's touch. 518-786-1700. And Balson Spa Veterinary Clinic, providing the TPLO technique, orthopedic surgery and rehabilitation, boarding, and more. Open 7 days a week with extended hours. BostonSpaVet.com. Thanks again for joining us. Remember, the conversation continues online at WMC.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Checkeye. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.